The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does.
Yep, it does.
I believe it does.
It do.
It do. Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good morning, Liam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
So good. Better than we deserve.
Well, we're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're also streaming live at KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com, and we are podcasting worldwide.
And we're archived. Yeah, for like nine
forever.
Years.
Yeah, forever.
So pick a show. Pick them all.
Really?
Who cares?
If you have a question or comment, you can call in to
530-605-4567.
Again,
530-605-4567.
So we are here with Chris Kellstrom, and Chris is running for supervisor in Shasta County. For District 5. How are you, my friend? How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I think we're all kind of sleepy today.
Well, I know why Wynn and I are sleepy, so.
You guys were away on a mission.
We were. We drove. Do you know what we thought? We were being called up yesterday, driving through all the locusts.
Yeah. We were looking for the three horsemen.
Listening for the trumpet.
Did you have locusts?
Oh my gosh. They were actually grasshoppers, but there was millions upon millions of them. I mean, at one point I said, hey, maybe we should pull over and put on chains.
It was half an inch thick
on the road.
It was bad. Yeah. The windshield was like, turn on the windshield wiper, see what happens. It was bad.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is that people have to realize in any supervisor race is that that supervisor has 20% of the vote of what happens. And in most cases, most counties only have five. Some have seven, some have nine, but most of them have five. And so that means that every supervisor, even though they're not in your district, what they say or what they want to do counts.
Absolutely.
And Chris, one of the things I think in your campaign that has kind of set you apart from a lot of things I've heard and a lot of campaigns I've watched is that you manage to go on, and when you do your ads, they're actually meaningful. You go on and you talk about an issue, and then you give a solution. One of the things I heard about yesterday on a radio program is a lot of people were talking about some of the things in the county to where everything is difficult. Every time you want to get some sort of permission slip from the county, you know, you have to go in, and the details are just cumbersome. And now I'm not saying that there isn't a lot of good county workers, but you have something that you believe can kind of monitor the behavior and also how hard or easy it is to get a permit. And you want to expand on that, buddy?
Yeah, well, I mean, for all county offices, I want to do a survey receipt at every county counter, and very simple. You know, all the fast food restaurants do them, the grocery stores do them, the large chain stores do them. Bottom of the receipt, how was your experience? Go to this website. Let us know how we did. What can we improve? How would you rate us? Would you come back again? Whatever. I mean, very simple little thing. And I think the majority of the county counters out there, you're going to find that, hey, they're doing great. Like I say, I've told the story before. I've got my birth certificate records. People were fantastic, knowledgeable, expedient, helpful. I mean, they were wonderful. Wouldn't change a thing. County clerk's office. I mean, I've been going in there a lot for the register of voters and getting different things and, you know, whatnot. And although I don't deal with the county clerk herself, but the staff in there, have always been pretty helpful. And a lot of times, one lady that I deal with quite a bit that gets most of my stuff, I won't say her name, but she's fantastic and she is helpful and she is great. And a lot of times when she's getting my stuff, I have to wait, and, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I have to, you know, it's going to take me a few minutes. Hey, no problem. So I like to sit there and observe and watch the employees while I do it. And, I mean, everything I have seen in that office, they're helpful. The people get up, and sometimes they have to come back with something or they don't have a form or whatever, but nobody's mad, nobody's upset. They've all seemed to have been helped and treated like a customer. And that's the key. We need to start treating everybody in every office as a customer when they come in. Now, the ones I just mentioned, don't change a thing. They're doing great. There's a few others that I hear nothing but horror story after horror story after horror story. And some of it is, yeah, their hands are tied with the regulations and state regulations and this, that, and the other thing. But when a customer walks through the door, help them. If you can't help them, explain why you can't help them. But don't, I mean, there just seems to be this antagonistic harassment situation going on in some of the counters that I've heard of, but, you know, especially one or two where people are going in there, they're trying to do a project, and every time they have to come back for something else and something else. And now that you did this, you need to do this. Well, why didn't you tell me I needed to do that at the beginning? Oh, well, now you have to do this. And it's just on and on and on and on. So, for that, when we get a receipt, you know, there's the frustration that is relayed to me would come out. That receipt would be, you know, it would be at the end of the thing, hey, you did this, I was unhappy, you did this, you didn't tell me about this, blah, blah, blah. And I want a copy of that to go to each board of supervisors, the CEO, and that department head of that department. And if we get a department that's nothing but complaint after complaint after complaint over and over again, you know, after we tally them up after a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it is, then you bring in that director and you say, you have a problem here and it needs to be fixed. You need to change the culture in your office. You need to explain to these people that those are customers walking through the door and they're taxpaying citizens at the same time, so they're your boss. So treat them accordingly. Let's help them. What can we do in our department to change our department so that we're more helpful to customers?
I think that's a fantastic plan. I mean, and the thing is it doesn't look like it's going to be expensive.
No.
It looks like something that's really not going to cost a lot other than some review, and they should be reviewed anyway on their job. You know, I mean, every other week you go to the Board of Supervisors and there's somebody who works for the county that's getting, you know, a $25 gift certificate and a cigar, a turkey, whatever you want to call it. But they get some kind of gift, for doing their job. Now, I'm not just saying that, gee whiz, no one should ever be recognized, but you know, this is like every frickin' week that we go in there, every time we go in there, we're hearing about somebody just getting a reward for doing their job well. Well, aren't you supposed to do your job well? You have a retirement plan. You have a medical plan. You have a dental plan. You have great pay. You have vacation pay. You name it, you've got it. I mean, you know, we take 15 or 20 minutes of the people's time every week or every meeting, should be every week, every other week to honor them. I mean, to me, it's very self-effacing, I think. I think that'd be a great idea. You also had another plan you were talking about, using an ordinance to ensure that BLM does their job on county land. You want to expound on that? That was another great point.
Yeah, all federal government agencies. So National Forest, National Parks, BLM, if they're controlling or managing lands within our county, they need to manage them correctly. Plain and simple. So a lot of this came about in back when I was hunting quite a bit, and I hunted in an area above Shasta Lake between McLeod, Dunsmuir, Shasta Lake, Castella, back in there. And if you look on a map of that area, it's checkerboarded. Every other square mile is Sierra Pacific or private property and then National Forest. Shasta Trinity National Forest, and our trick when we were hunting in there is we can camp on National Forest land, and you can have a campfire, you know, during certain times in National Forest land, but you can't do either of those on Sierra Pacific or private property. So we had to find a spot that we could camp that was in National Forest. And let me tell you, you couldn't even find a spot to pull a truck over to the side of the road in National Forest. You couldn't see through the trees and the undergrowth.
Right.
It was horrible. I mean, absolutely. The forest was in horrible shape, just waiting for a fire, kindling stacked up underneath the trees with no new undergrowth because the canopy was so thick, the sun couldn't reach the floor. I mean, there was no animals in those areas. Now you get into the private property, which was happened to be Sierra Pacific. You get into there and they've got log landings, they've got turnarounds, they've got wide spots on the road, they've got, you know, they've loaded their logs and burned the slash, and they've got, you know, clear cuts with new brush and new growth in them. And of course, those are the places you wanted to hunt. And they also would have been a really easy place to build a camp, you know, in the middle of a log landing, but it was against the law, so we didn't do it. And, you know, I noticed then the National Forest is not taking care of their property in that particular area at all. I mean, it was horrific. And there's other places. I used to hunt up in Thousand Lakes, which is east of Shingletown. And same thing. Some of the trails, you couldn't even walk down the trails. And this is supposed to be a wilderness area. Well, I mean, it was wilderness, all right. No animals lived in there. It was the same thing. It was so over-choked and choked with brush and just waiting for a fire. Now, both of these places that I've just mentioned have burned since then. So they've created a problem. There's a problem there. They haven't fixed the problem, and then forest fire will come in and take care of it. Well, that forest fire will also take care of the Sierra Pacific land that's adjacent to them, or homes that might be out of Camp Macumber area or whatever. Right. So, you know, they need to take care of their lands, and they don't own those lands, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. They don't own that land. They manage that land. That land is state land. That land is county land. That's our lands. That's we, the people's lands, not the federal government. The Constitution says they have 10 miles around Washington, D.C., ports of entry, federal courts, and military bases. They call them forts or armories, but it's military bases. That's the area they control. Those national forests, they just manage those. So if you're not going to manage them right,
very poorly.
And yeah. In some cases. Now, I will say the national parks, they seem to take care of Lassen National Park. You know, the floor is pretty clean. The trees are thin. I mean,
What's left of it,
exactly. Yeah, why? Because they have national forest land around there that was not in good shape.
Right.
So if you write a county ordinance, you know, some people think you can't override the federal government. You know, a little county, little Shasta County isn't going to tell the federal government what to do. Well, not necessarily, because they will make their forest management plans, and they will try to curtail them to fit within the county ordinance within your county.
Mm-hmm.
So it was done in Trinity County. I talked to a gentleman over there who had done it, and it was done in Trinity County where we say, hey, we want so many metric tons per acre, and you have to get this metric ton per acre down to this limit. If not, you know, I mean, we'll take those lands back and manage them ourselves.
And absolutely, we should do that anyway.
Well, yeah, we should. I'll give them a chance first. I mean, you know.
Well, the idea of just bringing it up, I mean, you know, gee whiz, I mean, what you've brought up so far is people being accountable for what they do in the county. I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, you know, really and truly, I mean, when you stop and think about it, I mean, when people come in, they are the customer of the county. I mean, they're in the employers. They're your employer.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't show them any respect. There's no checks or balances on them. Your first point would make a check and balance. The idea of having BLM, you know, and the federal government being responsible for fire hazards. I mean, West Redding is a, you know, that's a mess. And, you know, I think that those are two really good points. What would be a third point that you'd really like to bring up that you'd like to see a change in Shasta County?
Well, I mean, right now water is a huge issue. I mean, it's a ginormous issue. Now, you know, I'm in the middle of, I've been going to Happy Valley Water District. They've created a mess, or they've got themselves in a mess, found themselves in a mess, I should say. The people there haven't done any of it, but, past poor management of the district has put them in quite a mess. So I've been going out there quite a bit. They've been dealing with it for a couple years now, and now ACID, the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District, it's a disaster. And, you know, there's a lot of angry people. There's a lot of angry people, and they want to take their anger out on someone. And I will say this, the board, is my opinion on the ACID board, I think they did the best they could, made the best decision with the information they had at the time. Do I wish they would have done something different? You know, yeah, I do, but hindsight's 20/20. And, you know, I wasn't there when they made the decision. They had the facts before them. They needed to make a decision. They pulled the crowd, the small crowd that was there, you know, probably half a dozen people at the most. And so between the board and the people that had a say that were there at the time, they made their decision that the 18% of the water that they were going to be allocated wasn't going to get past Crown Motors in Redding. And it's absolutely useless to the district. So they ended up selling it because they were given the right to sell it. Usually you can't sell base water, but in this particular case, the Bureau of Reclamation said they could. So yeah, water is a huge issue. Now, ironically, one of my last flyers, the gal that does the printing, she had gone down the rabbit hole of going investigating into all these water issues. And I told her at the time, she goes, we need to get this out there. We need to put this on your flyer. And I said, look, that ditch is going to be empty all summer long. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't want a flyer out there saying that I care when there's nothing I can do about it. I said, that's a typical politician move right yep. there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything about it. I can't do anything about it, but I care. So, you know, vote for me. Well, that's, so I did not put that on a flyer because it's like, I don't want somebody with a flyer in their hand looking at an empty ditch all summer long.
Cussing you out.
Yeah, saying, hey, yeah. well, this guy said he's going to do something. I said, there's nothing I can do at this mm-hmm. point that I can think of. Now, since then, I've totally immersed myself into ACID. We actually have a fundraiser next Saturday.
Where's that at?
It's going to be at the community center in Cottonwood. Now, it was sold out a couple weeks ago. We've been kind of playing it by ear. There's a big patio out back that we could put people out there. I hesitated to sell any tickets because I didn't know if it was going to be 115 that day.
yeah.
Now it's starting to look like it's going to be about 100, so there may be another 6 or 8 tables if people don't mind sitting outside. So we actually have a meeting on that tomorrow night. We're going to work over a couple things. So we may have some more tickets available.
Great.
They're not going to be inside, but we may have some more tickets available. But, there's some great people down there working on this. They've gone outside the board because they want to find a solution. The board came up with the best solution they could, which was basically sell our water and take the money and maybe make some improvements down the road, whatever, fight in the future or something. But so there's kind of two different groups. And it's kind of funny, you know, I mean, people, like I say, I don't judge the board by what they did. If I had been in the crowd that day, I may have went ahead and voted probably to say, hey, there's nothing we can do with this water. You may as well sell it. We, you know, get something for it. Help out our neighbors, which is what they did. So, it's a very difficult situation. But now that I've kind of talked to some different people, Mark Baird being one of them, who's been in the water fight for quite some time, you know, he's kind of led me to believe that probably the mistake they made is this is our water. We own it. It's our property. And the government cannot come in and take your property without due process. You know, so a ruling by one judge for an environmental group that the Bureau of Reclamation bases their entire water plan for the entire northern Sacramento Valley off of one judge's one ruling, that's not due process. That's not a jury of your peers. That's not.
And compensation. And they're supposed to do compensation with the due process, but they didn't do either one.
And when they are working on the compensation aspect, but once again, you get government involved and it's a mess. So we have people's wells going dry over in, behind like Kent's Meats down in there.
Wooded Acres?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Wooded Acres.
Yeah.
So their wells are going dry. Some of the people in Churn Creek Bottoms, their wells are going dry because that irrigation ditch used to not only water our fields, but it also used to recharge the aquifers, and there's some shallow wells out there. Well, they have a government program that you can get a new well or they'll help you out with a well if you make less than $50,000. Okay, well, I mean, even the people in those homes that have one income usually make more than $50,000. You can't buy a home $50,000 a year. I mean, it's pretty difficult. So basically none of them qualify. Mm-hmm. So there is no help, even though the government says, well, here, we're helping you. You know, I think Ronald Reagan said the scariest words you can hear is we're the government and we're here to help. You know?
Exactly.
So yeah, we need to fight for water rights big time. I mean, I've, you know, with the other group that I'm working with, you know, we've talked about, well, whose jurisdiction is it? Who's going to go to jail if we fill that ditch? It's our property, you know, and, you know, is it against the law to take your property back? Yeah, they took it from us without due process. And
well, like if somebody steals your car and you go find it, you take it back. Okay. You're justified to do that.
Right.
Same application would apply here. However, to get the water in the ditch, you have to go push a button in the dam.
That's what my understanding is, yeah. And that's,
I mean, it's not just like there's a gate there where you spin it open and the water flows. If it was that simple, then yes, go do it. But it's not. It's got to go through that dam, so you have to know what button to push and how much to go, you know, however they do it. I know there's got to be a process, but that's what you have to – that's where you have to not narrow it
down. And that's where we need to declare a state emergency in Shasta County. I mean, this is an emergency. It really is. I mean, we just had the fire out there in Peter Pan Gulch. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate how it started. There's a bunch of rumors how it started. One way or the other, it really doesn't matter how it started. It matters that it didn't end when it should have because
there was no water.
It went across a dry field that would normally be irrigated. It jumped a canal that would normally be full. And then it went on from there. Well, you know, had this been not a state emergency that we're in, that field would have been green, that canal would have been full, and that fire would have never jumped and done what it
It would have been contained into the location where it started, and would, like you say, it wouldn't have spread like it did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
We do have a caller on the line. Steve, what say you?
Yeah, this is Siski Steve.
Oh, good. Okay, hey, you got to announce yourself like that, brother.
Remember? I did.
How's
I
it
did.
Going?
You did. Okay, we just got a Steve part.
I did, but the guy, your new guy, didn't catch
He's good. Liam's good, boy. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Liam's on it, boy.
You guys are good. That's why I wanted to call. You guys are good.
Hey, quite a guy running for supervisor, huh?
Pardon me?
Quite a guy running for supervisor. You're actually hearing solutions. We've been on here for 20 minutes, and out of all the people that we've ever had come on that's running for an office, this guy's given us more information, more things he's going to do in the first 15 minutes than we hear sometimes all the way through campaigns. Go ahead.
Well, Chris knows I'm a big fan of him. He's been very helpful up here, and I came down there and supported his fundraiser. We were down there, one of his campaigns. Or fundraisers he had.
You did, but, I remember that.
The thing I want to say is that you guys are really stepping up, and I keep trying to mention what Shasta County is doing down there and taking back your county. And you just said it a minute ago that the counties have the power, not the state.
Yep.
The people, you know, started the little communities way back in the day. It became a little village, and then a city, and then a county, and then a state, and then a government. So it's built in that order, and that's the order that where the power comes from. You know, and that's where the education comes in. We got to bring back the education to the people to educate them that they have the power, not the government. And that's what we're all about, and your program is really, really helpful with that. So I really want to commend you on that. Up here, they're doing nothing. I refuse to go to any more of these Patriot meetings and everything. They just go to meetings. They don't do nothing. There's nobody, and I hope somebody up here is listening because, you know, I keep trying to tell them that, you know, listen to your radio programs because you'll learn about what we can do up here in Siskiyou County. But, you know, we've got 10 years of meetings behind us now, and nobody's running for any offices against anybody that makes a difference. You know, the city clerk and the supervisors and all this stuff. So it's really pitiful. It's a socialist county up here. It's really bad.
We have,
Again, I just wanted to commend you guys. But the thing that I have started to do myself, other than speak to everybody I possibly can about all the issues that we've been fighting for 10, 12, 15, 30 years, now at the point I turn my flags upside down. And I turn my and I tell people I'm doing that, and I try to bring, you know, tell other people to pass that on through pictures of the, you know, the smartphones and stuff. And a lot of kids are saying, "What's that? What's that mean?" And so I tell them, and it's another way to bring awareness. If we start throwing our flags upside down, because we are in a very serious state of corruption.
We are
in the United States and California especially. So.
Yeah, Steve. Well,
that's my message today. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we have Mark Baird, who's going to be on our Mountaintop Media podcast, Jefferson State of Mind on Mountaintop Media. We're going to have him on tomorrow. He's coming into town. We'll be doing that podcast, and I believe it premieres at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And we've taken a hiatus of redoing some things on our podcast, but Mark will be in tomorrow live. And the other thing I want to say is that Chris Kallstrom is having a fundraiser on August the 11th. It's at the Gaia Hotel, and I mean, if you haven't been over there, it's really a neat place. It'll be nice and cool in there, a lot of fun. Tables are $400. You can seat 8 people at the tables, and there's an individual price to get in. Is it?
Yeah, I actually have to go a little bit higher on this one because the Gaia is a very nice place.
Right.
And it has very good food, and it's not exactly cheap, but you know, it's a great venue. So yeah, it's $50 a ticket and a table of 8 for $400, and then we throw on a $200 raffle.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's still a pretty good package.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of the prices of tables I've heard down south make your jaw drop. So it's still a bargain. Come and support Chris. It'll be a lot of fun, and maybe Steve, you can get some of those folks up there to join you in a table. And come on down here, and there'll be some great auction items, and it should be a great time for everybody. It's a Thursday night, August the 11th. Doors open at 4, is that correct?
4 o'clock, yeah.
4 o'clock.
Dinner 6, 6:30, somewhere in there.
Yep. All right, Siskiyou Steve, keep up the fight, brother. I know a lot of times you feel like the lone voice up there, but we love you here in Shasta County. Maybe you ought to move. I think Steve's he's going.
You know, it's funny. Okay. Steve mentioned Siskiyou County because one of our friends up there that we all know here at this table, a lovely little older lady. There was something came online several months ago. And it might have even been a year ago, and in the middle of COVID and whatnot, and I guess maybe I was running in there congratulating me or something, and thanks for stepping up to the plate. And I said, well, hey, can you use some help up there? And actually, I've gotten a message from somebody in Tama County first. I said, hey, you guys need some help down there, and they said, yeah, we're working on that. And then I'd asked her if they needed help, and I said, you guys are pretty good shape in Siskiyou County, aren't you? And she says, oh yeah, she says our board of supervisors are great. They're really good. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good. She goes, the problem is our health department, the head of our health department, that's the real problem. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe your supervisors aren't as great as you think they are, because they're that person's boss, and if you're having trouble there and there's a tyrant in charge, well, then that's your supervisor's job. So maybe your supervisors aren't quite as great as you think they are. I mean, I don't know. I'm not, in Siskiyou County. I'm not in the middle of all that. But just the comment, it's like you keep forgetting how this works,
Yeah, and I think that when we come back from the break, we'll talk about that, because that's another good point that you bring up that we haven't really heard a lot of a lot of other people that have run for supervisor, with the exception of people like Patrick Jones, of course. But, what the jurisdiction really is, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept. Our smart sleepers get 28 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the signs. All you have to do is sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 40% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed queen, now only $14.99. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
Here we go. Three country boys right here.
Like it.
Huh? Where's that ice cold beer?
I like what he said. He's got the keys to the country.
Yeah,
he's absolutely right. We all do.
It's like our friend Andy White in Sierra County.
Yes, sir.
Owns a White Sierra Station.
Yep.
You can buy a pizza there. You can get your tires there. You can buy a sandwich there. You can buy Jefferson gear there. You can buy Second Amendment gear there.
You can get a beer there.
Oh, man. He has got a cooler. He calls it the candy store.
Yep. kind of like Fall River Mills, booze and bullets, huh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyway, we're here with Chris Kellstrom. Chris is running for District 5 in Shasta County. And, again, folks, why is this important to you if you're not in District 5? Because it's 20% of the vote. And as we talked about in the first half hour of this program, Chris was giving solutions for three different things that he believes we need to be looking at in Shasta County, all fantastic things for our protection and for our liberty. And Chris will be having a fundraiser at the Gaia Hotel on August the 11th. Doors will open at 4 o'clock. If you haven't been into the Gaia, especially into their ballroom where this is going to be, it's a beautiful place to have an event. If folks are coming in from out of town, or if you have friends that you need to come in from out of town, it'd be great. The hotel's a great place to stay at. $400 for a table, seats 8.
And the air conditioning works well.
Air conditioning works fantastic.
Air conditioning works well, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
My youngest daughter, that's where she got married, and we were there for 3 days, and it's a blast. It's a great place. Anyway, we're getting back with Chris here, and what we're going to talk about is something that a lot of, again, people who run for office, we've heard solutions to problems we have in the first half hour. Now we're going to talk about that jurisdiction because, again, most of the people that run for supervisor don't know their jurisdiction. It's about, you know, it's about a platitude or, you know, what it is that maybe they believe. But we're talking about solutions here. And, Chris, you were talking about jurisdiction of a supervisor. And we ended the last half hour on the note of the jurisdiction of the supervisors being basically the person who appoints and can fire the head of Health and Human Services. And there's more about the Dominion machine and stuff, so go ahead and elaborate, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, a supervisor is a representative of the people. That's what a republic is all about. You elect a supervisor, and they're there to represent you. They are not there to represent themselves or their special interest groups or their buddies or what. They are there to represent you. And, you know, it's very simple. So if there's a problem in the county and, you know, there's issue after issue after issue. Supervisors have the ability to take care of that. They can go to the department head. They are the department head's boss.
It's their jurisdiction.
Yes. We, the people, are the supervisor's boss. So
yes.
If you don't do a good job, you can vote them out or you can remove them from office via, you know, recall. So,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, I think, have just forgotten that whole thing of we answer to the people. It's real simple. I mean, and for me, like I say, it makes a supervisor's job easy if you do it correctly, because if there's a hard decision you have to make and you're not sure which way to go, well, then you go to your people and you say, okay, hey, I'm your representative. How do you want me to vote on this? What do you want me to do? And it may be the opposite of what you would prefer to do, but if that's what your people say, that's what your job is to do. You're there to represent them. So,
yeah,
the supervisors are in charge of all the departments, all the department heads. You know, and I don't think I think that we can control most of any issues we have in the county with the department heads. It's not the guy at the end of the shovel, you know, filling in potholes. It's not the nurse at the public health, you know, giving a vaccine. It's not the people down there doing their regular everyday jobs. Those aren't the people that we have problems or that need to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to go to every single person in the building department and say, you need to fix your attitude. You need to go to the department head and say, you need to fix the culture around here.
They need to lead by example.
Absolutely. And if you can't do it, we'll get you help and see if they can help you do it. And if you still can't do it after you've gotten help to do it, then maybe we need to find somebody that can.
That's,
you know,
right.
That's real simple.
That's right.
So,
looks like we have a caller on the line here. It's Nick. Nick, what say you?
Good morning, gentlemen. And I'm not using that term loosely. You are a gentleman. Hey, I started something here about 3 weeks ago, and I started asking people if they trust the Dominion voting machine to count their votes. And then I morphed in, do you really trust a machine to count your votes? I've asked well over 200 people, and I've got 13 yeses. I printed up some little things so they could email the supervisors, and I'm sure the supervisors have many, many emails expressing our dissatisfaction with the way the votes are counted. what I'm wondering is, do the supervisors have the authority to tell Kathy Darling Allen, get rid of them machines and figure out how to go to a paper count or a hand count locally?
Yeah, and the supervisors had to approve the contract with the Dominion voting machines, and one of the supervisors who's no longer there actually got donations from one of the executives from the Dominion company. So, once again, that kind of tells you how at least that particular individual is making his decisions. It wasn't based on we the people, that it wasn't based on the 200 people you talked to, Nick, that don't trust those particular machines. It was based on the executive that gave him money. Mm-hmm. So,
I have people laugh at me at that question. But that really doesn't answer my question, Chris. Can we just say, to hell with those machines, the supervisors say, get rid of them, we're going to do a different vote that the people's trust? Do they have the authority to do that, or does the authority rest solely with Kathy Darling Allen?
Well, the supervisors control the purse strings, so if there's no more money to pay for the Dominion voting machine contract, well, then I guess there would be no more money to pay for the Dominion voting machine contract, and we'd have to do something else.
Yeah, the way that it's kind of written, the way I understand it, is that the Dominion voting machine, there is a clause in the contract that was written that the county could cancel the contract. The jurisdiction, as Chris says, and he's right, is the supervisors. They do have jurisdiction of whether we have that machine or not. The one thing that I'm not clear on is, I believe this is the case, that the machine, we have to get another machine. I don't think we can switch to go to paper ballot. I don't know if the Board of Supervisors has that jurisdiction or not. Probably a good thing to find out. But I know that they can switch to it's three or four other companies other than the Dominion machine.
Also, there's going to be a penalty clause in the contract. So if the county cancels the contract, then there's going to be a payment penalty due to Dominion from the county if we back out of the contract.
Well, the thing is, I personally, and I think everybody else, would be willing to pay that penalty because we don't think that our votes are being counted in the manner that we want them counted.
Agreed.
I think you're
agreed.
Right.
Agreed. I agree.
And the other thing, Nick, that's important is that, you know, you did that survey, and that was a really good man-on-the-street survey, and people, you know, you got good, honest answers from the folks. Now, Joe Comente said that he believes that 70% of Shasta County voted against Bob Holsinger, who was running against Kathy Darling Allen, because the people believed that the Dominion machine was just fine, and that's what he's using as fact. He didn't go out and ask the people. He always makes the comment, we serve all the people. Well, you actually did a real count, and maybe that could be something you could elaborate on at one of these meetings, or specifically with Joe Comente, who made those comments.
Oh, I intend to do that because I can't figure out any common sense a way to explain what he said. I mean, you know, what are we supposed to do? Not vote because we don't trust the machines? But well, what I'm wondering, Chris, when you get elected, will you bring that to the forefront?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Kathy does have some leeway there, like, for instance, the unmanned drop boxes. That's not a state law. She doesn't have to have those. She's chosen to have those, and she doesn't see a problem with them. I see a problem with them, and I imagine you see a problem with them, Nick. So, you know, that's...
Maybe a better question would be, does the supervisors have the authority to reel in Kathy Darling Allen and maybe tell her how we want our elections run?
Well, like I say, she's an elected official, so you know, she does have more leeway than a department head, for instance, that's appointed. But, again, the Board of Supervisors controls the purse strings. So we have a new budget out there, and the budget can be cut, the budget can be added to, expanded. There's a lot of things that can happen. So, you know,
try and imagine what's going to happen to our county with Mary Rickard as head, and Baron Browning as vice head, and Aaron Reisner as a supervisor.
Yep.
That's a spooky thought.
Yeah, everything that's been done will be undone.
Yeah, you know.
I hope you guys have a great day, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, you know, that does bring up an interesting subject. I mean, the people that are running for you're running against Baron Browning, and I haven't heard anything, and this isn't really a slam to him. I just haven't heard any kind of solution to any problem that we have other than, well, we need more law enforcement. Okay. We need more sheriff deputies. Okay. We need, you know, we need to be transparent. Okay. How is that? But there hasn't really been anything concrete where he stood on anything other than who he is, what he's done, you know. And the city of Anderson, frankly, is a world apart from the city of Reading. I mean, there's some really good folks there, and I love Anderson. But, it, you know, really and truly, the bigger fish is Reading, and Reading is more liberal.
Yeah, and that... In that Anderson area, I mean, they're near and dear to me, and they have done a good job in Anderson. I mean, I will give them that. They definitely have done a good job in Anderson. The whole board, Jeff Kaiser, you know, they have come together and done a darn good job in Anderson. So I won't take any of that away from them. But there's some solutions, in Anderson, for instance, that you can do in a city that you can't do in a county. For instance, they did pass a no camping ordinance in Anderson. Okay, that's great. You can't camp inside the city limits, but you can't do that in Shasta County. If you were to pass a no camping ordinance to try to help clean up the homeless or the transient camps, guess what? That area that I was talking about that I wanted to go hunting in and look for a spot to camp, it would be illegal now, to go on National Forest land.
Right.
It would be illegal to camp at Shasta Lake, to camp at Whiskeytown Lake, to camp up in Shingletown, to camp anywhere, because you can't. So some of the solutions in a city, they've done some great solutions in there, but that doesn't transfer over into a county. You can't stop the homeless by doing a county ordinance of no camping.
Right.
You're gonna affect far more people to have legitimate reasons to camp.
Yeah, right, you're right.
Right. And they should be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do have Bob Holsinger on the line, and Bob ran against Kathy Darling Allen. In fact, Bob did get the Republican Central Committee
endorsement,
along with a lot of other endorsements. But Bob's on the line, and maybe I have a feeling he's calling in to answer some of the questions that Nick had asked. Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning. Good to talk to you guys.
Okay,
you too.
What say you, buddy?
Hey, one of my concerns or one of my comments was before I said, on my campaign, I got the contract for the Dominion voting machines. And I was shocked because I did a lot of contracts in my career. But this one doesn't have a penalty based on it. It says we can call them up for any reason and ask them to come get them. I can give them a reason if I want, but I'm not required to.
That's even better.
No penalty.
No penalty involved.
Wow.
Pick it up, say, hey, we want to sever the lease and send it down the road. And there are three vendors. One of them's L.A. County. I wouldn't give you a dime for L.A. County's machine. The third one is a company that's in Austin, Texas. They're manufactured in Austin. They're owned by people in Austin. And they're used in Texas. So I would want to look at that system and get references and stuff before I went anywhere on that. But there's a big, I don't know how large it is, but there's a significant number of folks that have been coming to me talking about, we need to hand count everything. Man, that's a big challenge. And I still concerned about human error. And so I'm not sure where that goes, but I'm not in the campaign anymore. So those are things that I was talking about during the campaign. And just an FYI on that.
You know, Bob, we used to hand count ballots, and I'm serious. It seems like now with all the computers and the Dominion voting machines and this and that and the other thing, and it seems like it takes longer now to get results than it did when we hand counted it before.
Yep.
When we had one day to vote and they were hand counted, it seems like it takes longer now than it did then. So why can't we hand count them?
At the precincts, right? At the polls. They were hand counted at the polls, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe each precinct, yeah.
Yeah.
So I why can't we hand count?
I think it would be worthwhile trying, you know, when we get into these like coming to recall would have been a prime opportunity to hand count a ballot. Just see how it works.
And it'd sure be nice to have a voting day now, kind of like the Constitution talks about, rather than this voting month.
That's my whole goal, too. I have one day to vote. If you want to vote in the election, come in on election day.
And absentee ballots are fine.
November. Yes, sir.
Absentee ballots are fine. We're not trying to take those away from anybody. There's certain circumstances where, you know, obviously our military being deployed would be one of them, but, you know, people spend the summers out of the state or out of county, whatever. I mean, there's certain, you know, certain nurses, certain, you know, people work certain shifts where absentee ballots would still be available. But it used to be in the old days, absentee ballots, I mean, it was quite a ordeal. If you had somebody at your home that wanted to vote and couldn't get to the polls, or that was, you know, you had to get an affidavit and the whole bit. And now it's just, hey, ballot harvest, go grab all the ballots you want and trust us.
Well, Mary Rickard's excuse for wanting the mail-in ballots was she's 85 miles from Reading. Okay, well, you know, why don't we just make that day a holiday? just have a holiday for voting day. We'll just have a holiday. We have a holiday for everything else. There's like ice cream holiday and there's tamale holiday. There's all kinds of holidays. Why don't we just have a voting holiday? And that would solve everything. People don't have to work. You know, if you got to drive 85 miles, you know, and you got, then you got to do it. I mean, what
And don't they have a precinct up in Fall River Mills? I mean, why do you have to drive 85 miles? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they do have a precinct. Yeah. It's her, you know. Yeah. She has to drive 85.
They sure do.
Unbelievable. How do we get those people elected?
Good question, but I'm in Dominion. A precinct now thanks to Mr. Modi, so I'm going to do my best to make sure she doesn't ever come back.
Well, that's a great segue, my friend, and thanks for the call. That's
a great segue later.
Because we're going to talk to Chris about the new areas. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
The new areas that are in District 5. Now, that's changed from has that changed from the primary?
Oh yeah. Oh no, not the primary.
Before the primary, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so Happy Valley is now in District 5, which, you know, you can say why or why not. I mean, I'm personally happy about that. I'm very happy about that. I have lots of friends in Happy Valley. I manage a grocery store out in Happy Valley. It's the last grocery store that I managed. Made a lot of friends and connections out there. So I'm great that Happy Valley's in there. But Happy Valley never voted for Leonard Modi, so he was in charge when they went through this redistricting carpetbagging thing that they did, or gerrymandering, I'm sorry. So
same thing.
Yeah, they took Happy Valley out of his district. Churn Creek Bottom used to be in this district. It no longer is in this district. And again, current supervisor, he was not very popular in Churn Creek Bottom, so it was taken out of his district.
Now, Churn Creek Bottom is not in District 5?
No.
Okay.
Two now.
Very edge of it. Now,
but Happy Valley is?
Happy Valley is, Shingletown is, Anderson and Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Shasta County side of Cottonwood. But those are basically the four big ones. Millville used to be in. Millville is no longer in.
Right.
So they've moved some things around. And boy, when you look at that gerrymandering mess they did, I mean, ironically, the other ranch that Mary Rickert lived on that she alluded to in the Board of Supervisors chambers that, Les Ball would be her supervisor. Lo and behold, that ranch got moved back into her district. So now both of her ranches are
in
her district.
It's at the southern end of District 3 that is her district, yes.
Now, you know, Dale Ball's road got cut in half when he was running against Modi, and the half he lives in isn't in Modi's district anymore, or District 1 or 2 anymore. It's in District 1. So
that happened to Patrick when he was running against for a supervisor the first time he ran. They did the same thing. They moved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was living in District 3. And then they changed it to 4, so he had to go rent and right here in town, right here over by Jones Fort. He had a house over here, and they changed it, and then so he had to go rent an apartment to get back into the district because they changed it on him when he decided he was going to run.
Huh? Yeah, it's
that was years ago, but that's what happened to him.
And I actually have somebody, and we joke about it now, but you guys would know him if I said his name, but I haven't gotten his permission, so I won't. But he was the first one to put my signs up, so he had asked me, you know, as soon as I got my signs, he said, "Hey, I'd like a couple of those signs. I live in Churn Creek Bottom." I said, "Oh, that'd be great," you know. And that was kind of cool because that was the first signs that I saw. So it's kind of cool when you're driving around and you see your name on a sign, you know. And now I'm kind of used to it, but at the time, that was the first one, so I drive by his house and I see my name's on a sign. I'm like, I had to bring a smile to my face. That's kind of cool. Well, within about 3 days, we got a letter from the FPPC saying that you can't have signs out before 90 days before an election, even though these were small yard signs. And then lo and behold, when they did the gerrymandering thing, his place was taken out of my district. And ironically, I've since made friends with one of his neighbors who said that he voted for me. I said, "Well, you couldn't have voted for me. Your area was taken out. Churn Creek Bottom was taken out." He says, "No, you're on my ballot." Well, now I've told my original friend that had the signs up, and he goes, "How can that be? I'm closer to Anderson than he is. He lives on the other end of the road." And I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe they drove by when they were gerrymandering." He said, "Hey, that place there with the blue signs, take him out."
I wouldn't doubt it.
So then, we have Happy Valley, Shingletown, Cottonwood, and the thing about Cottonwood is part of it's Tehama.
Right.
And where's the line at?
Cottonwood Creek. So north,
Cottonwood Creek.
North of Cottonwood Creek. That's the county border, yeah.
Gotcha. That's Shasta. Okay. Yep. And then Anderson.
Anderson, yeah.
Okay. So it sounds as if, you know, and those are areas, folks, that we really need to get the word out on this. Again, you know, the thing about this candidate is the solutions. That's why, you know, it's rare, and we haven't heard that a lot from different candidates, that, you know, what it is they want to fix, how they're going to fix it. And maybe it is what they want to fix, but specifically now we're talking about how you fix it. So
I have a quick question before you go there, real quick. Wooded Acres is District 5, right?
I do not believe anymore. They really? Were taken out with Churn Creek Bottom, from what I understand, yeah.
Okay, so they shifted them out and mm-hmm. put Happy Valley in.
Yeah.
That's kind of, okay, I'm sorry, I just had to get clarity on that, because I was thinking that real quick, like, well, wait a minute, Wooded Acres,
no.
It used to be all the way up here into Redding, in a subdivision south of me, that part of it was...
Yeah, Rancho Road used to be in District yes. 5, it was taken yeah. out also.
And north yeah. of Rancho mm-hmm, Road, mm-hmm. a little bit, yeah. yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, just
no, you, no, you did good, that's really good, because, see, that's something specific we need to know. So, folks, you know, now what if people want to help you from these different areas, especially to either knock on doors, whatever it is, where can they go to where they can help you?
So I have a website, chriskellstrom.com, which I actually I need some work on that website. I had a gentleman that was working on it. It needs to be updated. I need to find somebody to do a little more work than has been being done on it. So you can reach me there. You can send me an email there. I have an email, kellstrom5@yahoo.com. So kellstrom4district5@yahoo.com. You can call my campaign phone, 530-744-4539. So I'm out there. I'm easily, you can reach me. You hit me on my Facebook pages. You can send me a Facebook Messenger message on there. So I am absolutely, and I intend to continue to be that way. You're going to be able to reach me. If you have a problem, you're going to be able to reach me. My campaign phone, I don't have it today. I don't carry it with me at all times, so don't expect me to answer it and immediately answer you back. Although there has been several calls, I've had it with me and I've answered it on the spot. So, you can reach me. You know, one last thing I want to say too, because some of the things I always take for granted, like, when Patrick Jones turned down the retirement, I remember at the time he told me he wasn't going to take the retirement. I said, well, yeah, if I run for office and take it, I'm not going to take it either. And then I just kind of forgot about that, because to me, I'm just not going to take it. I mean, I was number one.
Wow.
And then when I mentioned that on one of the Red, White, and Blueprint podcasts, Jeremy was like, are you kidding me? That's a bombshell. Well, I kind of take that for granted, because that's just something that I wasn't planning on doing at all.
That's because you're just a normal human being.
Try to be.
Yeah. And so, folks, okay, so right off the get-go, that's number four. Three things that Chris talked about.
And term limits. I'll give you a fifth one.
Oh, and term limits. So we're going to have him back on again because, again, solution-minded. I mean, what do we want in Shasta County? We want solutions, not platitudes. But here you have a man running for office who gives you three specific things that we need to fix and how to fix them. The solution, the legal, jurisdictional solution to fix them. And now he's saying he's not going to even take the retirement. So we don't have to pay him the rest of our lives like we do the Rickerts and Modis
and
Pimenti.
Everybody else.
Pimenti isn't going to be able to get it because he didn't win the second time. Don't you? What exactly is it to?
You have to serve one term and be elected into the second.
There
you go.
One down.
And I think with term limits too makes it a priority to get your stuff done, because if you plan on being there for 20 years, we'll work on this fire thing later on, no big hurry. We'll work on this later on, no big hurry. Well, if you only have one term or two terms and you have some things you want to get done, you better roll up your sleeves and get to it, because I don't plan on being there forever, and I want to pass term limits so that other people in the future aren't there forever.
Right.
Give somebody else a shot. Get them in there with their ideas. Let them go.
Are you carrying over into the next program?
I believe I am, yeah.
Okay, so, folks, you'll be able to hear some of this again. Again, we archive this. Please share this program, especially if you're around this area. You need to share it. Because
and also, if you want to participate in Chris's campaign in any way, go to his website, email him, let him know, because rallying troops to do that. So do that as quickly as possible, and we're good to go.
Yeah, so anyway, Chris, can you give them your number one more time, your information, and then stay tuned again for Sovereign Minds, because once they come on, they're going to have Chris on, and again, share this program, and keep listening or tell your friends to listen to Sovereign Minds. Chris, give them your information one more time, buddy.
Yeah, so phone number is 530-744-4539, and email is kellstrom, DIST5@yahoo.com.
All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's program. We want to make sure that people understand we're going to be having Mark Baird on tomorrow on Mountaintop Media on our podcast that should be premiering on Facebook, Rumble, et cetera. We will get the word out on when that does premiere. It should be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do, brother, and amazing job. Again, I'm pretty encouraged. I don't see how anybody couldn't be encouraged with hearing someone running for office actually offering freaking solutions
yes.
to the problem and yep. identifying the problem and not just ranting about who they are or how great they are or gee whiz, I don't like this and I don't like that, but what
or
are you going to do about it?
Or committees that they serve on.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Chris, my friend, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.